Grace is God's willingness to give us His best, even though we don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be saved. It's God's grace. God's amazing grace. I said it's God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. So grace is a free gift. We hear a lot about faith, but it's grace. God's willingness to give us His best, even though we don't deserve it. Grace is the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man, not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it is therefore constantly set in contrast to law, under which God demands righteousness from man. Under law, God demands righteousness from man, but He can never give it. But under grace, He gives righteousness to man. Did you get that? Under law, God demands righteousness from man. The Ten Commandments was there to show. And there was only one man that ever kept the Ten Commandments. His name was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But under grace, He gives righteousness. He gives righteousness to man. And I could give you some scriptures there. Romans 3:21. And 22, and Romans chapter 8, verse 4, and Philippians 3:9. Law is connected with Moses and works, grace with Christ and faith. Law blesses the good, grace saves the bad. Woo! Law blesses the good. You know, you do the right thing, you do all the right things, law blesses the good. But it always fell short, of course. But grace saves the bad. Saved a wretch like me. Law demands that blessings be earned. But grace is a free gift from God. Whew. Oh, I tell you, that just blesses my heart. Law demands that blessings be earned. But grace is a free gift. Give you two or three scriptures there. Deuteronomy 28:1-6. Deuteronomy 28:1-6. And then Ephesians 2:8, of course. We've already read that. And Romans 4:4-5. So those are a few things that I think will help you so much. Grace is God's willingness to give us His very best, even though we don't deserve it. And we don't have time to go into all the things that are there, but that does lay a foundation. Grace is a free gift. And thank God, grace and peace come through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, thank God, there was sufficient grace out of that sacrifice for all my sins. Now here's something that I think is so wonderful. Grace is a constant. Grace is not a moving target. Grace is a constant. God is a constant. And you know, I'd like to get it because it is so awesome. Do you know there are over 300 versions of Amazing Grace? Out of that one song, did you know that one man who was such an evil man and a dealt in slave trading and God only, an immoral, drinking, drunken, womanizing man. Do you realize that he spent the last several years of his life being a pastor? I didn't know that. I just was acquainted with that fact recently. It's amazing that the worst became one of God's best. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to accomplish. You can't be too bad. But that God cannot save you and God can change you. You know, case in point for that, dear Lord, you take the Apostle Paul. Look at what the man did. God saved a murderer. And I honestly believe that Romans 8, I mean, it's just been a private little thing and it's not a doctrinal thing with me. I wouldn't argue it, but I believe that Romans 8 was the answer that had to come to Paul's heart to keep his sanity after all he had done before he came to Christ. that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how he would feel with the blood of Christians dripping from his hands, except for the grace of God? But now Romans chapter 8 said there is therefore now no condemnation. Hallelujah. You mean God saves murderers? He does it all the time. He can take the vilest sinner and make them clean. Thank God. Grace and faith and our salvation are all free gifts from God. You know, you wouldn't have faith to be saved if God didn't give it to you. Your faith comes through the grace of God. I mean, your ability to believe for your salvation comes through grace. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And God gives us faith to respond to the salvation of God. Without it, you couldn't do it. They're all free gifts from God. So when we look at grace, we did not deserve it. No one in this room, no one that has ever lived, ever deserved the grace of God. What about Peter, who denied him three times after following him for 3 years, a little over 3 years, denied him. With profanity denied him. And yet the grace of God overlooked. No wonder it says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. You cannot earn it. A beggar can get free what Bill Gates couldn't buy. Because you can't earn it. Grace is a free gift to us. Whole, provided through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. His suffering, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. And he's now seated at the right hand of God. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Now here is something, you see, so here it is. I mean, you have folks that are trying to earn salvation. That's legalism. You have people that think they can buy it. You remember one tried to buy the gift, the franchise on the gift of the Holy Ghost and said, thy money perish with thee. You can't buy the gifts of God with money, right? Or with anything. You can't barter all of that. But oh, thank God grace is a teacher. Turn with me to Titus, if you will, tonight. Over to Titus. Because here's where I see people getting into error. And I mean, I could cite incident after incident. God's grace is deeper, higher, wider, richer, more powerful than I could ever describe to you in this time that I have with you this evening. But some people say, well, because of the grace of God, now I have no responsibility. There is a responsibility that comes with grace. And in Titus, the second chapter, verse 11, for the grace of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, the grace of God that brings salvation. Titus 2:11. I still hear some pages turning. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's available to all men. And you know, you can take it any way you want to take it, but I believe that some people say, how could a righteous God ever send anybody to hell? I believe, you're going to have to stretch with me for a moment, but you know, I believe that some way, somehow, and every person's lifetime on the face of this earth, it may be for a few fleeting seconds or a few fleeting moments that God reaches out to reveal himself to them. And that's where we come in, Brother David, to give them the word of God, to be there in that moment of conviction. I mean, God's not a mean God just going around, you know, saying 200,000, you go to hell, and here we'll let 100,000 get saved. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But the grace of God comes to all men, But it's teaching us. Grace is a teacher. Grace is a teacher. Well, what's a teacher do? A teacher teaches you that there's things you need to know. A teacher teaches you things you don't know. A teacher teaches you things that can hurt you about certain things. I mean, you take dangerous jobs and construction jobs. They're doing construction on our street. And I mean, they've got all kind of colors on. They've got their hats on. And I mean, they are ready for any potential thing. Someone has taught them, be careful, be careful, be careful. Teaching us. All right, what does grace teach us? If there's nothing to do after grace, some of you say there's nothing to do after grace comes. Nothing to do. I don't have to witness anymore. I don't have to pay bills. I don't have to be responsible. I can speed through school zones. I know I'm going a little extreme there, but I mean, there's a responsibility to grace. And that's what the Bible's all about. A high percentage of Paul's teaching is teaching us how believers ought to live. Not to be saved. This is where we've missed it. Not to be saved. Teaching us. Not so we can be saved, but teaching us. And here we come again. Teaching us how to enjoy heaven on the way to heaven instead of having all kind of hell in our life on the way to heaven. Now, I'm saying something that I'm going to say stronger with the days to come because I don't hear anyone bridging that gap. So much of what people argue about, they try to make it heaven or hell. It's not a matter of heaven or hell, but you can create hell in your own life by ignoring the teaching of the Word of God. I mean, this is a wisdom book. And it will teach you how to live personally. It will teach you how to live morally. It will teach you what to do with your money. It will teach you how to have relationships. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. I don't want anybody to show me any friendship, you know. I mean, the Word of God's so practical, so practical. All right, teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Ungodliness. I'm not going to take a long time on this, but it is important. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. You know, we need some teaching today on the fear of God. We're not to live like the world lives. We're not to drink like the world drinks. We're not to sleep where the world sometimes sleeps. We're not to go view things that the world goes to view. We're not to read some things that the world reads. We're not to be a part of things that the... Why? Because it'll hurt you. It'll bite you. Sin will bite you. Sin will hurt you. Sin will hurt your marriage. Sin will hurt you personally. Sin will hurt your business. Sin will hurt. And the Word of God is teaching us after we are born again how to avoid hurt and to be helped. Denying ungodliness, things that are ungodly. Now, you can call me prude if you want to. I'm not. I think I have a balanced way of looking at life, but I also have a godly way of looking at life. And that's why we attend virtually nil theaters, because I'm not going to listen to GD and Dam and I can name, you know, abbreviate. I'm not going to listen to all the perversion I have to listen to even sometimes see one decent film. Ungodliness. Ungodliness. I mean, it's in magazines. You can't even sell toothpaste. You can't sell clothing. Everywhere you look, you see ungodliness. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We live in this world. You have flesh just like I have flesh. Put your flesh in the wrong place and you're putting yourself on dangerous ground. I mean, if your weakness is alcoholism, you don't spend your time in bars witnessing to people. I mean, if you were a womanizer, you don't go hang out at some girly house somewhere trying to win them to Jesus. There's going to be a winning, but it'll be the other way. Do you follow what I'm saying? You don't go where sin is on purpose. Now, you witness, we witness, but worldly lust. We should live soberly, soberly, soberly. That means some common sense. Live with common sense. Righteously, is it right? And godly. Godly in this present world. Where you're sitting, could you pull up a chair and say, Jesus, would you sit here with me and let's watch this together? Just a thought, just a thought. Looking for, and we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. All iniquity. You know, you get on the devil's playground, you don't know what you'll do. You don't know what you'll do. All iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. We're not weird, we're peculiar. We're not weird, we're peculiar. We're different. Have you ever noticed the world is different? They talk different, they look different, they act different. Well, we're peculiar. We're not weird. We're peculiar people. Zealous of good works. These things speak. All right, that's what I'm doing right now. Exhort. That's what I'm doing right now. And rebuke. That's what I'm doing right now. With all authority, let no man despise thee. So that's just a little bit of what it said. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, but it's teaching us. And God knows we need that. Grace is a teacher. Now here's something else that is important. Grace is not a parking place. Grace is not a parking place. Well, I'm saved, so I'm just going to sit here till Jesus comes in this chair. It's not a parking place. It's not a parking place. We don't just turn the motor off and sit here and do nothing till Jesus comes. Grace is a launching pad. Grace is a launching pad that frees us to grow and to enjoy and to go. To grow and to go. Grace is a launching pad. It releases us to grow. So if I'm in grace now, and I'm going back as a dog to his vomit. That's what the Bible said. Don't be like a dog going back to his own vomit. I don't go back to what I used to do. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't run with who I used to run with. Don't do the things I used to do. Grace is a launching pad to release me to grow in that grace. It also releases me to enjoy the salvation of God. And not be under that, you know, thank God you can know that you're born again. You don't have to worry about losing it 24. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Nichols, what about all that? All right, let me ask you. Well, I don't think I'd get honest answers. How many times a day would you have to repent to go to heaven? I heard somebody say all day. Thank you for an honest heart. I mean, if your salvation depended on every time some little thing went wrong, it's pretty hard to live without seeing some things. Just to show you what life is all about. You know, the other morning I had almost 3 hours with the Lord. I took some extra, I'm taking extra time, and I got in my car, and I'm going up my street. And here comes a woman down the street half naked. And she was well endowed, jogging of all things. And there were construction people up and down the street, and that's probably why she was out there trying to get some attention. I don't know. It's in the morning. It's in the morning. I said, dear Lord, I didn't know anything like this was in the neighborhood. He said, well, did you see? I had to drive the car. But I didn't drive with my head turned backwards. And I didn't get in the rearview mirror either. Before the day was over, not out where we live, but in another, at a Brahms, there's a woman, there's a husband and wife in there. And I thought, this is demonic. This is demonic. I don't know what their situation was, how long they'd been in the United States. I don't know anything about it. But I mean, the woman is there and not properly clothed and well endowed. I thought, dear Lord, the day starts off. It's hard to get away from some things. You have to learn to turn. You have to learn to just say in the name of Jesus. We all live in a sewer in one way or another. Advertisement does it. Movies do it. Television. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm trying to get real with you. We all live in a world that we face what could be a temptation. We all live in that world. But thank God for amazing grace. How many times a day do you repent enough times to stay saved? If anyone could tell me. Does anybody repent enough times to stay saved? I'm throwing some strong meat at you here tonight. If it were not for the grace of God, none of us would make it. Everybody that appreciates truth and reality, say amen. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. Yes, I believe in repentance. Yes, I believe in repentance. But you see, I'm born again. But I still believe that repentance goes and should be a part of a believer's life. When you say or do something that you shouldn't do and your heart deals with, I mean, deal with it right there in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. I repent. I said the wrong thing. I lost it. I mean, I've had more than one person. I had someone run up to me the other day in church, said, Pastor, I lost it today. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. And when I found out what had happened, it was worse than what they told me. It's possible to lose it. It's possible to give people a piece of your mind when you can't afford to give any of it away. Need all the pieces we can get. But thank God for the grace of God that it holds our ship at dock and keeps us. Thank God, thank God. We're not just little wandering stars. Thank God for the grace of God. We don't deserve it. We didn't. And I hope you're following me tonight because I'm giving you some strong things. Grace is a teacher. Grace is not a parking place. Grace is a launching pad to grow in grace, to enjoy your salvation. God wants you to enjoy the journey. I mean, some people, God help them. They're like a nerve end. They're just like a nerve end all day long. You're just, they can't relax and enjoy the salvation of God. And you know, if you're not at peace with your salvation, you're not going to make a good witness anyway. You're going to be so busy trying to keep yourself saved as if you could. You're not going to be out trying to get anybody else saved. You just say, oh, mercy God, mercy, mercy. So, grace is the launchpad. It releases us to grow in grace. It releases us to enjoy our salvation. And it also teaches us to grow and to go. To go. Grace releases us to go. Grace is the blessed assurance of our eternal salvation. And you know, there's one thing that I wrote down the other day. You know, grace, one size fits all. It goes with the package of salvation. God's amazing grace. It's a starting place. It is a starting place. Grace is a starting place. And of course, most of you are well past that today. It's a starting place. But thank God I'm saved. Thank God the grace of God is a vital part of my salvation. Listen to me. Write it down somewhere. God's not mad at me. Grace teaches me that God's not mad at me. Maybe a parent was mad at you. Maybe a mother or a father or a stepfather or step whatever. Oh, maybe life's been rough with you, but God's not mad at you. God, grace teaches me that Grace teaches me that God is not mad at me. Grace teaches me that God loves me, period. God loves me, period. When I've had a good day or a bad day, when I've had a victorious day, God forbid, when it seemed like I haven't lived as victorious as I should have, God still loves me, and God still loves you. Thank God. So now I can live without fear and condemnation and dread. I said I can live without fear. I can live without condemnation, and I can live without dread. Thank God, thank God. I can overcome all things. Blessed are the overcomers. They're going to inherit all things. I said, blessed are the overcomers. I think we need to just realize that grace releases us to grow in grace, to rest and to enjoy our salvation, and to go on and get on with the work of end time harvest. Unfortunately, there are people that claim that they now are in grace and they don't have to do anything. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read the word. I've just got it, can't lose it, and I'm going to sit on it. It's not right. That's greasy grace. That's sloppy agape. There is a responsibility to grace. Now, here's the thing. There's just so much you can preach about that. I mean, I've given you kind of an oversight tonight. You say, well, do you believe? Well, dear God, I hope you've been listening to me. I believe in grace with all my heart. I couldn't make it without it, and neither could you. None of you could make it without it. No matter how sweet, how nice you are. You know, we don't cut others slack that we cut ourselves sometimes. We could not make it without grace. It's the grace of God. You can't be a good enough sinner or a bad enough sinner. You just come just as I am without one plea, but that it, thy blood was shed for me. Thank God. Thank God. But grace is a teacher that we're to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope. I mean, reports come in, you know, it is so strange. There are so many wild doctrines that are loose today. And there are so many, quote, believers who say they have there is no responsibility. And that's why they don't want to go to a church where they would have to be responsible. They don't want to go to a church where they need to be committed. Just a free spirit to do whatever they want to do. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to do this. I don't have to... No, you don't have to do anything. And you can be a fathead zero in the kingdom of God, too. I didn't say you weren't saved. But do you realize this is the only world that you're going to accumulate a reward in the world to come? So you're going to sit on your blessed assurance because you found grace? I'm going to tell you, when you realize, when it just halfway dawns on you how good God has been to me, man, I want to spread it around. I want to reach every life possible. We're not in this world to condemn one another, but we're in this world to go forward. And our salvation is not... You can't work... How many understand? You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't barter for it. You don't deserve it. How many... You do understand that? You can't buy it. You can't barter it. You can't... It just doesn't work that way. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. But I'm going to hit it one more time as I'm going to hit it over and over and over again, because I just haven't heard anyone hitting it like this. You see, here we're born again, genuinely born again, on our way to heaven. But what we're talking about, well, I don't have to, if there's nothing for us to do, why did the Apostle Paul waste his breath and print to give us all this good teaching? And Peter, and James, and others. I mean, why didn't he just say, you're saved by the grace of God, just go live any way you want to live? Doesn't say that. Over and over and over again, there is a responsibility to grace. my pastor many years ago, Brother Alcorn, he said concerning a certain something about like this, he said they ought to put blacksmith shop out front. All kinds of bending and twisting done here. We're not into bending and twisting the Word of God. We just dish it up and serve it out like it is. So I'm saved. I'm not doing good works. I'm not even standing here tonight. I'm not in church on a Sunday night. Joe and I haven't given the major part of our lives to do what we're doing because we're saved. But oh, thank God, because I am saved, I want to do everything I can to help somebody else get saved. I want to do everything I can to help young people know you can live victorious, to know that you can win the victory, that you can live pure, that you can live clean. You don't have to live like the world. Life is not like the world depicts it is. And if God had not intended for us to have guidelines to our life, He would have never given us the teaching of the Word of God. Not for legalism, not to be mean-spirited, but so on your way to heaven, you can enjoy heaven. On your way to heaven, you can enjoy heaven. Instead, I mean, there's a lot of believers that don't understand. There are benefits to doing nice things for your companion. There are benefits to blessing your companion. Someone said, I read the scripture, said heap coals of hot fire on their head. She said, I couldn't find coals, so I poured hot coffee on his head. That didn't work out so good either. How's that working for you? So on my way to heaven, I can have a reward. I can say things, do things, give things, be a part of things that are going to result in an eternal reward. I mean, these soul winners, and I know it's a team effort. It's a team effort. But you think of these soul winners going out, frontline evangelists, these precious soul winners. If one soul is worth the world, if one soul sets heaven's praise detector off, if one soul does that, good night, what does 70,000 do to heaven? Hallelujah. I mean, there's some angels ain't getting much sleep up there nowadays. Of course, every time they turn around, that bell's going off. Calvary's out witnessing again. But going further than that, what about their accumulation of blessings and rewards? We're not doing good things. We're not running buses. We're not doing a Christian school. We're not doing 24-hour prayer. We're not doing the things we do for brownie buttons on earth. We're doing them as unto the Lord. For eternity, for eternity, for eternity, that on our way to heaven, instead of, I know people that are having hell in their marriage and hell in their business and hell in their personal life and because they're doing things that are just violating the Word of God. You lie, you cheat, you steal, only God knows where these guidelines are. I'm not trying to play God tonight, but I'm telling you, on your way to heaven, on my way to heaven, I want all the heaven I can get a hold of. And so on the way to heaven, that's what this church is trying to do. We're doing our best to live by this, by the teachings of this. So on our way to heaven, we can enjoy more heaven. Instead of on our way to heaven, every time we turn around, we suffer. See, you'll suffer for wrongdoing even if you're born again, even if you're going to heaven. There are consequences to doing the wrong thing. You may have a sweet little Corvette, but you go through a school zone at 80 miles an hour, and you're going to have a debt to pay. There are consequences on earth for not doing what you should do. So you see, I'm not endeavoring to keep the Word of God or do the Word of God or do what God says for brownie points. I'm not endeavoring to do it so you can say, well, we're just so proud of our little pastor. He just does it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I want to please God. I want to please God. You can't reward me enough. I can't reward you enough. But one day we're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were willing to go when others would not go. You were willing to do when others would not do. You were willing to give when others would not give. When others withheld, you gave more. You did more than you had to do. You went the second, third, fourth, fifth mile. When others had a bad attitude, you kept a good attitude. You did the right thing. And there will be, I tell you, as sure as God made little green apples, there will be rewards for doing what God said to do. Thank God for amazing grace. I said, thank God for amazing grace. Thank God for amazing grace. God's not mad at you. God loves you. God just wants you to enjoy heaven on your way to heaven instead of having to fight hell every day you live because you did the wrong thing or said the wrong thing or you wouldn't be honest or you wouldn't tell the truth. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true, we used to sing. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true.